Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure.
Do you ever have to get your hair cut?
Perfect argument.
I don't.
No, I don't have any hair.
I know, but like it's kind of...
Are you asking if I shave my head?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I just naturally am hairless on top of my head. And I do wear a hat, as you can see.
Yeah.
I had asked...
An undersized hat.
Undersized for me. Oversized for a regular human head.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked the Mets organization, can I wear a hat that will cover my head? Because I don't want to get skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it would be too distracting.
To cover more
if I wore if I wore a proportionally sized cap.
That's a giant hat.
It's a really big hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you buy that answer? I mean, did it bug you?
Yeah, it bugged me a lot.
That's what's wrong with business.
But you know what?
You get answers like that from administration. What's wrong with business.
Here's the thing. It turned my thinking around because I said, I'm expecting them to provide something for me. Why don't I make my own hat, which I tried to do and I was bad at. So what I did was I bought the biggest possible Mets cap you can get. It's an 8 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
That's very rare. Like, if you saw that on a regular person, you'd say, wow, that's a big hat. On me, it looks small.
It does.
But it's a bit. But here, I'll take it off. Look.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen you without your hat.
Yeah.
It's less funny with the hat off.
What do you mean less funny?
I'm just saying it's like, it has a comic effect to have a giant baseball head and a tiny little hat.
You look goofier with a hat.
Yeah.
You do. Okay. Or endearing.
Okay. I'm not trying to... I'm trying to get like the fans stoked. You know what I mean? When
sure.
I come out at the very beginning of the game and then later in the seventh inning stretch when I shoot those t-shirts.
It sounds like you're trying to get the rich fans stoked more than the poor fans.
Well, maybe the rich fans are just in a better mood because they're earning more money.
Wouldn't you be? I guess. Well, no. People who make a lot of money aren't always happier. I mean, that's a fact.
Well, that's true. Money cannot buy happiness, but it can buy you great tickets to see the Mets.
Yeah, and a free t-shirt.
And money can't buy you a championship because the Mets have a big payroll often,
and they
have not won in a long time.
That's right. Maybe this year is the year.
Do you have 20/20 vision?
Yeah. I have perfect eyesight.
Okay.
Perfect eyesight. That's why a lot of times, you know, when I'm watching the game, I'm waiting for the seventh inning stretch when I go out with the t-shirt gun.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly... what balls are going to be caught. I know what balls are going to be home runs. I know where that ball is at all times, and I can see the trajectory of it as if it is being drawn by an invisible hand. I call every play before it happens because
really?
I can see exactly where that ball is.
That's incredible and also slightly annoying.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, that's an incredible skill, but it would get old.
It's a curse, I guess,
because
you know the outcome of every play, it sounds like.
But, I mean, honestly, I'm just a couple seconds ahead of everybody else.
What if an umpire reverses what you see as true? Like, if you see, that guy's going to be safe, and then the ump, who is the ultimate arbiter of what's real.
I learned the hard way. That's his job. He's got his job. I got my job.
Have you ever...
Now, in the old days, I used to chime in, and I used to have a lot to say about what was fair, what was foul... whether people were out, whether they were safe, and
did you do some clowning with the umpires back in the day, or sort of make fun of them behind their back?
It would start as clowning, and then it got pretty heated. It got pretty serious, and I was asked not to do that anymore.
I know you're doing some blogging.
I did some research. There was an incident where you flipped a player off. It was an opposing team, who was heckling you, and you. There was a photo or video footage of you giving them the swear finger.
But I only have four fingers, so, you know, how can you tell for sure? I was saying you're number one.
Well, it was in the interior finger, so the intention seemed like... I believe you were like...
Maybe I was saying marry me.
But I think you were chopping at the elbow with one arm and then throwing the finger up with the other hand.
It was definitely aggressive, but you do have... I mean, technically, he doesn't have five fingers, so what he's saying is true.
Okay. I get angry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel
you're human.
I'm human. I'm not perfect. And sometimes that anger gets the better of me. And I flipped a guy off. Big deal. Who hasn't done that?
Well, you're representing an organization. The stakes are a little higher. You are
in... Well, at that point, I...
You are in. Here's, everyone's watching you when you're out there.
Here's the situation I'm in. First of all, that video was not, like, in front of everybody. Somebody was taking a video. I didn't realize the video was rolling.
Well, these days, you got to be careful.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And look, I've been around a long time. I got to learn these new things, you know? It used to be, the stuff we could do in that locker room, in the press room. Like, we were crazy animals, you know? It was a different time.
It was a boys' club, right? It would go
it
to
was
a
real
kind
boys
of vibe.
Club. That's right. Yeah. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's right. There were murders. There were there were pranks that went too far. Baseball players love pranks. They love pranks.
I know there's some people that accused you of waterboarding them.
I mean, that's just not what we called it.
That was like one of the first ways he stole signs. So that's the accusation.
We called it in those days it wasn't there was no term waterboarding. Uh-huh. We called it a wet willy.
Uh-huh.
But swirly.
It was literally bringing you to the point of drowning.
Yeah, and sometimes past that point.
It was just horseplay in your mind.
It was boys being boys. It was locker room antics.
Mm-hmm.
We were
mm-hmm.
just having fun blowing off steam.
That's like my greatest fear is to just be almost drowning by a giant, I'm sorry to say this, but giant baseball head looking at you upside down, just shoving your head into a bucket.
I mean, can we have a little
that'd be really scary.
Bell go off every time he says giant baseball head?
I apologize.
I'm sorry.
You are like,
but that's part of the scary.
You are making him more self-conscious.
And this is one of your greatest fears. This is like something you've thought about a lot.
Well, just now that you're saying it, it's up there in the top five, I would think.
But it's a fear you had before this interview, or it's now become your top five.
It's now become my top five.
Oh,
I didn't have a premonition.
Where is it in the top five?
Well,
that's a
good
question.
I have to really think about it.
Like Shark Attack?
The trailer
Buried
from,
Alive?
The trailer from
Burning
It?
Alive. Okay, It.
Probably number one.
The recent It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Pennywise?
Alien 1.
The guy the coming out of the chest?
Exactly.
Okay. 2.
That's number 2, yeah. 3.
I'm sorry this has become about Scott, but we're working through something.
Hey. Every episode of Barney.
Oh, Barney scares you. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I got chased around by Barney when I was younger. I was at Barney World.
What did you do?
Barney World is... I don't think that's weird. I don't think there ever was a Barney. Somebody took
no,
you
No, my neighbor just sort of set up in their backyard. And it was just like their birthday dream to have a Barney World and their dad.
Got it.
Right. Just took it too far and just got really scared.
And then the baseball head?
Nothing happened. And then baseball head would be number 5. Okay. Just barely edging out.
Getting waterboarded.
Well, I'm pleased to be so low in the rankings.
Do you have a high tolerance for, like, alcohol or anything like that?
Yeah.
I was gonna say.
Much so that I very rarely drink anymore because...
Really?
It takes so long to get so many beers to get your head buzzed.
Yeah. And to be around other people who are absorbing alcohol at a normal rate, it's a drag, you know? It's like I might as well be sober. You know, you're out there with your friends and they start to slur and... You know, you're still feeling lucid and, you know, not relaxed and, you know, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I very rarely leave this place. I stay, I keep to City Field a lot. It's just me and Mrs. Met and we have a nice life here. You know, we like being at home. We like to cuddle and you know.
Watch Netflix.
We do all the normal stuff, you know, yeah. Like any couple, you know.
Is it hard to travel, like going through like an airport, anything like that? Like,
yeah, do you travel with the team
mesh...
or are you only here for home games?
I do travel with the team. You'll never see me out on the field.
Just beneath the stadium.
I'm just beneath the stadium. Yeah.
So you're in the hotel with the team, on the bus with the team.
Yeah. And then I'm in the locker room in the stadium while the game is happening.
Doing what?
Watching the game, you know?
But like for what purpose? I mean, you're a fan. Seems to me you're a fan mascot.
Right.
So the players don't really need you for anything.
But
or
my
the team
real,
doesn't need
my
you.
Real, oh, you think they don't need me for anything?
I think the fans need you, but I don't know that you're
not
a coach, you're
not
an instructor.
Because here's the thing.
Please.
It's the law of averages. How many Mets fans are going to be in the stands at an away game?
Not a lot.
Of course there's a few. Of course there's a few.
Yeah, not a lot.
They're serving, essentially, as me at that game. Do you know what I'm saying? They're mm-hmm. their own little Mr. Mets. Because they're wearing a Mets cap. They're wearing mm-hmm. a Mets jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And they're surrounded by people... Wearing
hostile territory,
the clothing of the other team, the uniforms mm-hmm. of the other team.
Mm-hmm.
That's brave.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need me.
Right. They don't need you. And the team doesn't need you as well. That doesn't contradict my initial point.
The team does need me.
Why does the team need you?
The team knows that at the end of it, win or lose, I'm there for them. I become a father confessor to them.
Ooh.
They tell me how they feel about the games. This is really the function a mascot is supposed to serve.
You're like a therapist in a way.
In a way,
or
yeah.
Or an army chaplain.
Yeah.
Or confession.
Father Mulcahy.
So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Where are these therapy sessions? Do you sit side by side and talk through a?
Well, what happens is it's almost like group therapy where I will sit, crisscross applesauce on a bench in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
and the guys.
That's
will
a good
all,
evolution of. He didn't say Indian style, so you're learning. I know you've been around a long time.
Yeah, that one took me a while.
Yeah,
that one took me a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say Indian style.
Uh-huh, originally.
Then I would say Red Indian style.
Yeah,
I would say
offensive.
Feather Indian style.
I could see why people would take offense to that. Yeah, crisscross applesauce, big improvement.
Yeah. But then I saw the heat that the Cleveland Indians were getting, the Atlanta Braves, all these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let them take the heat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the PC thing here and learn the terms.
So you really haven't learned the lesson. You just changed the words you say.
Words are words. If we start censoring words, then where are we? Do you know what I mean?
Start censoring words, where are we?
That's fascism.
I mean,
that's fascism.
I know what you're saying, but I guess you have to be sensitive to people's feelings. I mean, you do... like in the way that Scott upsets you when you say he keeps reminding you have an oversized head or ridiculously
giant baseball head.
Well, that's directly insulting to me because I do have.
I know, but it's derogatory. There's other ways to describe.
It's the way he's saying it. See, words are words.
Right, but you're.
I'm not saying he can't say that word. I'm not saying only I can say I have a giant baseball head. I may not like it, but he's free to say it.
This makes a good point.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to UCB Sports and Leisure. A very special thanks to this week's wonderful guest, Paul F. Tompkins. Be sure to check out Paul's podcast, Spontanean Nation, on Earwolf. And big thanks, as always, to our wonderful producer, Cody Ziegler. You guys, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at UCBSL. Please reach out to us. And if you haven't done this yet, one of you, please leave us a like or a review on iTunes just once. Thank you all for listening and peace.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.